Now, if this is your first time, so glad you're here. You're catching this at the beginning of a new series. It's going to be a pretty exciting series. I'm pumped about being able to launch it. Next week, we'll actually have Dr. Pastor Allen Holmes speaking. Whoop, whoop. Yeah, it's going to be cool. Super practical. It's so neat. This man has the ability to boil down stuff and make it so simple. It's like eating alphabet soup and you understand it. It's just glorious. So you're not going to want to miss that. And I get the opportunity to springboard off this series. It's going to be pretty exciting because I think the past few weeks I've been pretty teachy, and this is an opportunity for me just to get excited and like just talk about the Bible and Jesus and just, I don't know, get pumped about it. I'm really excited about this one. So what we're going to be talking tonight is something I think is very, very pivotal in everyone's life. It's something that we're all kind of struggling with right now, and it's this idea of identity. Now, when I was younger, I was a little Trevor, and I was born at a young age, and I wanted to be an actor, I wanted to be on the big screen, all that different kind of stuff. I wanted to do this so much, I would imitate anyone, anything, any cartoon I saw. I would talk in every voice. I had a rockin' Stitch voice when I was growing up. I had Looney Tunes down pat. I could do the Grinch. I could do it all. Irish, I can jump into that in a few seconds. Well, hello there, laddie. So glad to see you here. There's Lucky Charms in the back. It's just great. I would love doing voices and everything. And there was a stretch of about a week that I never spoke in my normal voice. Never. My mom finally came up to me. It was the last straw. She just came up to me and was like, Trevor, calm down. You need talking your normal voice. That's what she told me. Talking your normal voice. And I was like, yeah, all right, cool. And I looked at her for a few seconds. I went through all the list in my mind. I forgot how I sounded. When I was a little kid, I was like, what do I sound like? And I just kind of cycled through a few things. She's like, no, your real voice. And I was just so confused. And I was like, my little mind was like trying to figure it out. And I feel like that's what we're all kind of experiencing. As the church, as society, we've been impersonating for something so long that we don't even know how to be ourselves. Have you ever heard that term? Just be yourself. Just be yourself before you wreck yourself. That's what people say all the time. But have you ever gotten to a situation where in your life you really don't remember what you should act like? Have you ever had that situation? I don't really remember who I am sometimes. And we kind of forget after a while about being swamped with all these different personas. I was talking to Hannah Mold. If she's here tonight, give it up for Hannah Mold. She's one of our A-teamers here. She knocks it out each week. She's studying like crazy, like I know a lot of you are. But she does a lot to pour into the lives of people here at the church. And so she's a fantastic individual. So I was talking with her, and we were talking about this idea of an identity and how people interact with the world in the way they view themselves. Did you know that? People interact with the world in the way they view themselves. How I see myself is how I respond to other people. So like if I'm a Christian white male from Mississippi, I'm gonna respond to situations out of what I believe and identify with, right? That's how I'm gonna respond. We see this in schools all the time, right? We had the different classes. There was a caste system in high school, if you didn't know this. One is the jocks. There's the jocks. That's awesome. That those guys, you know, bright shoes, whatever, they can lift a couch. When there was the nerds, all the nerds. Can I get a shout out from the nerds? Amen. We have geeks. There's Geeks Burrow. There's like these different facets. And now there's a rise of a new generation of people called the hipster. The hipster. How many of you know a hipster? How many of you are a hipster? You won't raise your hand. You know why? Because you're a hipster. Because you don't fit into any mold. That's you. That's the hipster. They have the torn jeans. They have the different thing. They love coffee from different places. They like the band before the band was even popular. Amen. And that's the hipster. But you have all these people who identify with all these groups, and that's the lens at which they see life. If I'm a Republican, I view moral situations from a Republican standpoint, right? If I'm a Democrat, I view moral situations from a Democratic standpoint. If I am a college student, if I am a mom, if I am a dad, if I'm any of these different facets, that's how I view the world because that's how I identify myself. Are you tracking with me? That's how people do that. We see it all the time. And Christians have a hard time with this. You know, whenever I was younger, there was only two genders. Did you know that? There was man and woman. And I went on Facebook, and they've added 25. There's 25 different genders you can choose from now. I can't even remember the list because some of them are exhausting titles. What does a Christian do when there's 25 genders? When you don't really know even how to say I'm a man, a woman anymore, how do you identify yourself? How do you do that? As a Christian, that can be tough. Can I propose to you the first thing before we say we're a Republican, before we say we're an American, before we say we're a college student from UNCG, we need to say that we're the children of God, that we're part of the kingdom of God, and we're fighting for the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen? Before we say that we're any sort of little facet or grouping, we need to say that I represent the love of Jesus Christ, and that's who I am an ambassador for first and foremost, and that's the lens I'm seeing the world. That's got to be it. It's got to be it. But what does that mean? What does it mean to be a child of God? How do I know? How can I understand? Because this is the thing that's the most under attack under of anything in our world. That's our identity. So to discuss this, if you want to open to Matthew chapter 2, Matthew chapter 4, there we go. Matthew chapter 4, just hang out there the entire time on your smartphone. You have permission to use your smartphone. You might get slapped or disqualified from your class if you used it, but this is completely legal. So if you want to use your smartphone to look at your Bible, that's fine too. But Matthew chapter 4, we're going to be hanging out here all night long, and it's going to be awesome. Because inside of it, we're going to find this sort of parallel from two different perspectives of the same place, and that is a desert. Today, us in society, we're kind of walking through a desert where we really are kind of void of knowing who we are, kind of a dry place in our life. How many of you can say, like, I've felt dry this week? I felt kind of dry. I felt kind of like, man, it's all right. This is blah, the word blah. And this... there's two different stories that are taking place in the same location. And this kind of shows us a little bit about this identity issue, this sort of this debate we're having today with ourselves. So let's take a look at it. Starting Matthew chapter 4, we're going to look into, we're going to start at verse 3. But to preface this, Jesus just got done getting baptized. And immediately after he got done getting baptized, he got taken into the wilderness, aka the desert, aka not much grows there, aka it's not a fun place. So he went out there. Actually says the Spirit led him into the desert. Kind of crazy. And there he was tempted, and this is where we're picking up on verse 30. After 40 days of no food and water, the Bible states something very obvious, that Jesus was hungry. You're college students, so I know you kind of deciphered that a little bit. So he was hungry, been in the desert for a long time. And then verse 3 we pick up, and the tempter, that's Satan, came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread, if you're the Son of God. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. But by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Man does not live by bread alone. What sort of transaction is going on here? The thing that Satan is questioning him about is the thing he's questioning you about all the time. If you're the Son of God, if you are who you say you are, if you're so big and bad, prove it. Prove it. Perform for me. Perform for me. Prove that you can do this thing that any son of God would be able to do. And that's what the enemy does with you, with me. And Jesus responds back. He says to him, he doesn't buy into that whole thing. He's not there for a performance. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. What is Jesus saying? This is your first point. My life is not based on what I can produce, but on the words of the one I belong to. Who I am is not based on what I can produce, but on the words of the one I belong to. That's what Jesus is saying. It's not based on my performance. I was growing up in Mississippi. You know, our education system's rocking. We got everything. We're first place in everything you don't want to be in first place with. The lowest on the totem pole. If you want to get some sort of disease, come down to Mississippi. We got West Nile. If you want to be overweight, come down to Mississippi. We got fried chicken. So we got everything. But in high school, I was there, and I had this girl in my school who loved getting A's, like straight A's. Did you ever have that person, the straight A person? You might be that person, the straight A person. I remember the day I came in. I saw her get A's all the time. I would get my grade B minus, and then I would just hide it from her. She's like, oh, I got an A. Look, I got another A. Yeah. So she got another A, and then I remember the day she got the first B. Inside, I had a little shout of victory because I got a B plus. So she got the A. No, she got the B, baby, the B, baby. And it just destroyed, it was just distraught moment. She's like, it's just like this worst moment in her life because finally, all of a sudden, where's the A? I'm an A student. That's who I am. That's what I do. How many of you ever had that experience? How many of you ever got your first B? Do you remember your first B? Not too many. This wouldn't traumatize most of us because that's, okay, I got two in the back, great. That wouldn't traumatize most of us, but it tore her apart because it was based, who she was, I'm an A student, was based on her performance. Who she was based on what she could do. Maybe that's not your thing for most of you, but maybe some of you are having a hard time producing a job. You applied to a lot of things. You applied to Krispy Kreme 5 times, and finally that guy who came in right after you got the job. I don't know, maybe some of you are looking around and you're trying to get a boyfriend or girlfriend, and you see all these people going around doing stuff, watching Netflix and all that kind of stuff together. You know that's all you people do are couples. You just sit around watching Netflix. You know the single people, shout out to the single people. You're doing the same thing that the couple people are doing. You can just pick what you want to watch. So can I get a shout out to the single people? Let's get a hand clap for the single people. Bless you. Bless you. Enjoy it, the freedom. But maybe some of you are like, man, I don't have a girlfriend. I don't have a boyfriend. And my inability to produce must be saying something about who I am. You know what I'm saying? My inability to make something happen, to do something, says something about me. Says something about me. And this is where I want to parallel something that went back in the Old Testament. So we're going to Deuteronomy, and we're not going to turn that. I'm just going to summarize kind of what's happening there, because Jesus' response is actually a quote. Jesus' response is actually a quote from something that happened in Deuteronomy a long, long time ago, where he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He was actually repeating something that was said to the people of Israel back in Deuteronomy, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And what was going on there was, for years, the people of Israel were slaves to a place called Egypt. And in Egypt, they had no status. They were slaves. Slaves, you know, their classification is the equivalent to a cow, what we would consider today a tractor. And what a cow and a tractor is equivalent to, once you can't do the job anymore, you lose your value, right? Once you can't perform anymore, you're no longer valuable. Once your performance is up, it's over for you. And all of a sudden, they got delivered from Egypt, and now they're in the wilderness. And all of a sudden, they're unable to produce. They're unable to perform. And their whole mindset is bent on performance identity. For some of you guys, that's where you are. You're basing everything about who you are on what you can produce. Straight A's. Maybe if I get this done, my dad will finally be proud of me. Maybe if I finally do this thing or get this job or get this degree, I'll finally get some respect. And he won't think of me anymore as a boy or just a kid, but I can actually take care of myself. Some of you people are trying to prove something to other people in your life by your accomplishment, by your performance. But can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? Your life is not based on what you can produce, but on the words of the one you belong to. Can I tell you something, what Jesus says to you? He says that you've already been weighed, measured, and you have value. You know what your value is? His blood. He came to this earth, sacrificed himself for you. He purchased you. It actually said that he came to the world to ransom his life for many. You've been purchased. And you know the thing about something that's been purchased? You can't haggle the price of something that's already been bought. You can't haggle the price of something that's already been purchased. Did you know that? So when the enemy comes against you and says, you can't perform. When the enemy comes against you and says, look at what you did, or your lack of doing things. You don't have the stuff that they have. You can't do what she can do. You can't do what he can do. So you must be completely less than acceptable. When he comes against you and says that, say to him this week, man, I've already been bought. And you can't haggle with me the purchasing price of something that's already been bought. Can I get an amen for something like that? Come on. So I want to empower you to say that this week. Your blah week. This is some fuel for you. Number two, and I'm going to read the story, give you the point, and I'll preface it a little bit in a few minutes. The second thing. This is going down to verse number six, five and six in Matthew chapter 4. Then the devil took him to a holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him and said, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. What's Jesus trying to say? I think he's trying to say in his response, do not put the Lord your God to the test, is proximity is not based on circumstance. That's your point. Proximity is not based on circumstances. So let me flesh this out just for a few seconds. Have y'all ever played peekaboo? Don't be embarrassed. You've all done it, haven't you? You've all played it. And the reason I ask is because kids are everywhere right now. Everyone's having a baby. Everyone and their mother is having a baby. Okay, maybe that's not the best analogy, but everyone's having a kid around here, it seems. I've got like 3 people on staff here that are having children. And you know the thing that every person, it's like, I don't know, some sort of disease. First, your voice changes. That's like your voice changes. And then involuntarily, your hands go to your face. And you go. Like, that's the thing that everyone does. Why do we do this? We play peekaboo because it freaks kids out. You would freak out too if you've been in something for 9 months that you have never saw an individual before in your life, and all of a sudden this giant monster beast comes at you and goes. You would freak out too. Peekaboo. You know what makes peekaboo so frightening? It's because kids and, you know, people who are studying like families and children, all that kind of stuff, back me up on this. At that age, object permanence has not set in. You know what I'm saying? When you do this and you're hidden from where they can see you, you're gone. You might as well have just been like out of there. Like, they're like, oh, that's amazing. They can teleport. It's like the coolest thing. You've seen kids at this. Whenever, if you've ever been at Daystar on a Sunday morning and a kid's been dropped off and their parent walks off, object permanence has not set in. Dear God, he's left me for life. It's just the worst thing ever. The worst thing ever, because object permanence has not set in, which means when I can't see you, you're gone. And this happens to us in life too. When we can't see God, when all the circumstances in our life tell us that God's not there, we believe it. And we believe when we get ourselves into situations, hard times, I lost my job. That person said something to me. I failed my test. I can't make, you know, rent this month. I can't make enough money to do another class. I'm gonna have to take a year off or a semester off. I can't start my degree right now. When those situations, some people look at that and say, God's not with me at all. They think because of the circumstance, God's proximity has somehow increased and it's farther and farther away. Have you all ever felt that? That the situation is telling you something contrary to what you know. That somehow like God's playing peekaboo with us, but instead he hides himself and he's actually gone. What does this mean though? Do not put the Lord God to the test. Again, Jesus is quoting something back in Deuteronomy, back in the day. Back in the day in Deuteronomy, we're back in the desert situation with the Israelites. They're going through and they're thirsty. I've never heard this term before. There's hangry and thrangry. Have you ever heard of thrangry? That's the weirdest thing. I heard it on commercial. I was like, now you're just trying too hard. Hangry, okay, I'll give you that. Thrangry, no. But this person was, they were just thirsty beyond belief, and they started just, I don't even know, they started just going, thinking crazy thoughts. If you've ever been hangry before and you get upset about, leave me alone, like they were that to the max. And so they're out in the desert, they're thirsty, and they actually start threatening Moses and Aaron, the guys who are leading them through this whole terrible situation in the desert. And he says, we're gonna stone you unless you produce water for us. Unless you get us some water, talk to God about it, get us some water, make it happen. So Moses is like, yo, dude, Jesus. I mean, God, yeah, whole theological thing we could get into. God, I know that you might be busy, but we need some water here. They're going to stone me if I don't get water now. So can you do something? And Jesus says, or God says, go ahead and take your staff, that little cool magic trick wand I gave you a while back. For Harry Potter fans, this was like the old school wand, except longer, but it did a lot more cooler stuff. He said, go ahead, take that staff, smack the rock that's next to you, and water's going to come out. So he did. Psh, water comes out. It's flowing. It's flowing. It's awesome. Finally, they're satisfied. Moses and Aaron are saved. The crowd cheers. Yay. But you know what that place was called? The place was called Massa. What does Massa mean? Massa means, is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? And Moses said he named it that because that's where they tested the Lord their God. Because you know what they were saying? There's no water anywhere. There's nothing. Obviously, God has left us. Because of the circumstance, because of the situation, because of what I found myself in, he's nowhere. Do you guys ever test things with God? Test him with God? I know you've done this before. Don't have to raise your hand. But you've played the light game with God. The light game is whenever you're driving and you're praying and you're saying, well, God, if you want me to do this, let all the lights be green. God, if you want me to do this, make that light turn red. Or like, if you want me to do this, have that person come talk to me and ask for forgiveness. God, if you want me to do this, have this person come and say hi to me or give a high five. We test God in this stuff that he wants us to do or not do, and we base his closeness on our circumstance. Are y'all feeling me on that? We can't judge his proximity to us based on our circumstances. Do you know why? Because Jesus said this. He said this in John 16, 33. He's not surprised when you have trouble. He actually says to expect it. He says, in this life you have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. What Jesus is saying is, you're going to have some problems, so don't be surprised when they come, right? You're going to have some issues, so don't be surprised when they come. In fact, he said, he knew we were going to ask this question, that we were going to think that circumstances equaled his proximity to us. So he said, don't be afraid when there's trouble. I'm right there. He said in Matthew 28, verse 20, I will be with you even to the end of the age. What's he saying? He's saying proximity is not based on circumstance. So when the enemy this week is pointing that crap in your life and saying, look at this, look at that, look at what's going on, God must not love you anymore, you might as well give up on the whole thing. That's not true at all. Because proximity has nothing to do with circumstance. So finally, my last point, last moment here, and as the last kind of conversation that the enemy's having with Jesus. This is Matthew chapter 4. And you guys still with me? I know some of you are kind of like nodding off. I can kind of see you're like, mm-hmm. You ever have that person in class? Do you see them? They're just like, they're in their pajama pants. Have you ever gone to class in your pajama pants? Yes. Hey, you can be bold about it. Yes, I have. They were Ninja Turtle pajamas. They were great. I loved it. Hang with me a little bit. This is my last point. You're going to be out of here. You're going to have cereal. You get to hang out with people. No worries. So last point. Hang with me. This is going down in chapter 4, verse 8. It says, again, the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. What is Jesus trying to say here? The thing that the devil is trying to confuse him with is, where is his source coming from? Where is his source coming from? What if you do this, I'll give you this. Like, he's got something to offer, but the enemy will always do that to you. He's like, if you do this, you'll be happier. If you do this, you'll be better. But Jesus, he's a smart guy. His response essentially says this. This is your third point. I got who I need. And the who is very important. When you write that down, I got who I need. Underlined who. Everybody say it with me. Who. That's right. Because so many people, they say, I got what I need. I've got what I need. That's what the devil's tempting him with. Look at all this stuff you could have. Look at all this stuff you could have. But Jesus' response was, I'm going to worship God because I know who my source is and I got who I need. Not what I need, who I need. Why is this so important? Because Jesus recognized, and you can write this down too, you will worship what you believe your source is. You will worship what you believe your source is. What do I mean by source? Where all your where all your relief comes from, where you find satisfaction in, where you find hope in, where you find purpose in. What you think is your source is the thing you're going to worship. So how do I find out what my source is? What does that look like? Deserts, not desserts, but deserts. What do you do when you get tired and hungry in the desert? What do you do when you get tired and hungry in the desert? And I'm finishing up, so Amelia, you can come on up. What do you do when you're tired and hungry in the desert? What do you go to? When you come back home and you've had a blah day, it's been a long day, y'all. I'm talking about if somebody cuts you off on the road, you're about to tell them there's only one way to Jesus. I mean, it's a long day. Half of you got that. At least if you, while you drive home, you'll get it later. But what do you lean on in those situations? Do you find something to do? Do you find an activity, a substance, a thing? And I know after a while, like, if you want to go get some Ben and Jerry's, you've had a long day, that's okay. Ben and Jerry's isn't your source. You did it once. But the stuff that you go to that you say, I need this, I got to have my Netflix. I just stubbed on a lot of toes. I got to have my TV show. I got to have my Walking Dead. I got to have this. These people get me all the time. I haven't had my coffee yet. Don't talk to me. I need my coffee. You need to settle down. And you need to get some, you need to help yourself with an attitude adjustment. Because when you start needing stuff, when you start needing something in your life in order to be happy, to be content, to be loving to other people, to be kind to other people, when you start needing other things and stuff and the all the what's in your life, whenever you start needing that, that's when you know what your source is. That's when you start knowing what your source is. Why is this so important? This is going to be my last little thing. It's not going to show up on the screen. The thing is, we're trying to all find our identity, right? Why is this so important? It's because a what can never tell you who you are. A what can never tell you who you are. You're probably trying to find your validation and your performance and stuff you can do. But you can never find who you are because of what you've accomplished. There's so many people out there who've accomplished so much, and they're the most empty people that you'll ever see. You can't find who you are based on your performance, your position. You can't do it because what can never tell you who you are? So what does this all boil down to? What is Jesus trying to say through all this? He's saying, instead of going to all your what's, this is a verse 28, chapter 11 in Matthew. He says, come to me. Come to me, all who are weak, and I'll give you rest. You're trying to find rest in all this other stuff. You're trying to find rest in all these other things, all the other what's in your life. You're trying to find rest in all those other things. He's saying, come on. Come to me. Some of you guys think that Jesus is hiding from you. He's not hiding from you. He's saying, come on, come to me and rest. So many people think that Christianity is exclusive. It's the most inclusive thing in the world because Jesus says, all who come to me will find rest. All who come to me. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, he says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption as children of God, as sons and daughters of God. Guys, this is a huge deal. You know what? Because some of you guys, now I'm about to give you guys an opportunity. For those of you who you've never done this before, you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know what you have to do to have that in your life? You know what you got to do? Nothing. You don't have to do anything to become a child of God. That's already been taken care of for you. All you gotta do is receive it. Jesus said, come to me. All you gotta do is receive it. You know, I was born Trevor Michael Brock. The moment I came out, I became Trevor Michael Brock. And like, I knew it was my name because whenever I got in trouble, it was like, Trevor Michael Brock. all the time. Y'all got it too. The full name sentence. It's terrible. I knew my name quickly because I learned how to write it. I learned how to say it. I heard people say it to me all the time. All the time. That's what we got to do if we're a child of God. We got to say it. We got to receive it. We got to walk in it. We got to act like it. So much of us don't even act like we got God who created the universe on our side every day. Someday we just feel like, I don't even know. We haven't had our coffee yet. You know what I'm saying? What would you do if you actually believed the God of the universe was on your side? Was on your side. He actually said, come to me. If you guys would do me a favor, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. And I'm just going to lead you guys through a simple prayer. And this prayer, it's just talking to God. It's nothing crazy. It's nothing hokey. It's just an opportunity for you to receive what Jesus has already done for you. To receive a gift that's not based on your performance, your position. That's not based on anything that you can do. All you got to do is receive it. There's next steps how you can walk this out in your life, but we'll get to that later. We'll get to that later. Right now, in this moment, this is your invitation. If you want to receive God in your life tonight, just pray this prayer after me. Jesus, I want to invite you into my life. I realize, God, there's not enough I can do. There's not enough I can say. There's not enough steps I can go through to get what I need in my life. I'm insufficient. I can't go back and change all the things I've done in my life that I've done wrong that I wish I never did in my life. I can't take all that away. But Jesus, I need you. Come inside me. Make me clean. Make me new. I receive your free gift today. In Jesus' name, amen.